I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Welcome to another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Collar here, and joining me, I think you all know this man, Green Bay Packers reporter Jason Wilde. What is up, Jason?
I should be asking you that in the words of the great Vince Lombardi. What the hell's going on up there?
Where do you want to start? What questions do you want to ask? I mean, look, here, I'll give you the short synopsis, because of course our podcast listeners have heard this every day pretty much. Here's the synopsis. They guessed wrong. They guessed that everything would click into place and go right, and it all went wrong, and now they're 1-5. But you know, you people in Green Bay don't deal with this very often, only if a quarterback gets hurt once every two decades.
That's true. I'm just going to miss the Yannick Ngakoue era. It was such halcyon days that I'm just disappointed that it's over after 5 weeks.
You know, it is funny how many times in sports the most exciting day of a trade or a new player joining a team is the day that they make the trade. It's like, oh, this is really exciting. Let's talk about everything else. Then the guy gets on the field and you go, oh, he's really not that exciting to watch play. So, okay. And then they trade him away. And that was the end. It's like, what was your favorite moment of the Yannick Ngakoue era? Like the time that he registered a sack when Indianapolis's tackle didn't know the snap count. And then you know, that's one of my favorite things is people asking, like, why did they trade their leader in sacks? You're like, well, some of those sacks were about, you know, 5 seconds in or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, that's kind of a cherry on top to everything else, Jason.
Well, who are we to judge? I mean, we've got the Green Bay Packers sitting their first-round pick behind a guy who's playing like he's turned back the clock and he's going to be spending the next 4 years playing at this level. So we all make mistakes.
No, that's true. You know, this is what I wanted to talk about, because breaking down the matchup just doesn't feel right when the Vikings are 1-5. It's like, who's starting at left guard? Who cares, right? So I want to talk about Rodgers and Jordan Love and all the stuff that we talked about, because we had a 30-minute discussion a couple of months ago on how the Packers had just left Aaron Rodgers out to dry. And you know what, Jason? I regret nothing about that conversation. Imagine if the Packers had Justin Jefferson right now. And, you know, they've played against some mediocre opponents that they've ripped apart. The Bucs game was not very good for them when they had to face a good defense. And I don't take any of it back. I think that they've just overcome some of that stuff, but they did not do the right things to put Rodgers in a place to succeed this year. They just have.
I would love to take anything back that I can, but I can't either. I mean, I look back on the draft and it just worked out great. They're 5-1. Now, we also know that there have been plenty of teams over the years that have started strong and then hit the skids. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's going to happen with this team, because frankly, there are a lot of bad to mediocre teams in the NFL that they are going to be better than. But are they good enough to win when the money's on the table against a really good team? I'm not sure, because the evidence we have so far is a pathetic performance in Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago. So, look, I know our friend Courtney Cronin made a bold prediction before the season that Justin Jefferson was going to be Randy Moss-like. Hmm. And I chuckled at her, and she's been, well, I don't know if he'll put up the same numbers that I remember from 1998 when I was covering the Packers and the Vikings game on Monday night at Lambeau Field on October 5th, and she was probably 8 or 9 years old. I've been so impressed by him. And you know who else was impressed by him coming out of college? Aaron Rodgers. He right. loved Justin Jefferson. And so, look, I'm looking at the Packers wide receiving core, and they're coming off of a game where they could have been even more productive against Houston, who I thought was better than its record, but clearly isn't. But Aaron Rodgers completed 23 passes against Houston. 13 of them went to Devontae Adams, as the Texans inexplicably thought, you know what? We'll just cover this guy one-on-one. What's the worst that could happen? But there, his other 10 receptions or other 10 completions, four went to Jamal Williams, the running back. Two went to tight end Robert Tonyan. And then two went to another wide receiver, Malik Taylor, at two catches for 6 yards. They've been without Alan Lazard for a couple of weeks now after having core muscle surgery. He had had a big game in New Orleans and suffered the injury that night. Look, they don't have enough weapons for you to feel good about them if they're missing guys. And I understand they played two games without Devontae Adams. They were able to win both games. But they have three of their five wins over teams that have one victory each. And so I think if there's some skepticism about this team, it's still valid. Doesn't mean that what they've accomplished isn't great. Doesn't mean that they didn't beat the teams that were on the schedule when they were scheduled to play them, which is what you have to do. Doesn't mean that they haven't beaten some teams, like Aaron Rodgers likes to say, that they're supposed to beat if they believe themselves to be a championship contender. But I need to see more before I'm going to apologize in any way for saying that they didn't make any mistakes by not getting Rodgers more pass-catching weapons.
Right, and when we look back at what they did in the draft, it's not just the first round, it's anywhere did they add any receiving talent at any point. But when we look at the first round, and you talk about these older quarterbacks who have had so much success in the NFL, Tom Brady still looks great, Drew Brees had a little bit of a dip there, and then he looked good. We've seen lots of quarterbacks go into their 40s even that are of this ilk, of the Aaron Rodgers ilk, and still be able to win in their late 30s and 40s. And I think that the conversation was always, why would you not push the chips to the middle of the table when this guy is still your quarterback and is coming off of a season in which they went 13-3? And I know that there's the statistics, and I think that they'll bear out still as we go down the stretch here, maybe some tougher opponents, not this week. But you know, that he was not the same quarterback as he was, say, in 2013, 2014, in that range. But at the same time, still one of the 10 best players at the position in the NFL. And I think that part of his regression was people aren't open. He doesn't have extra receivers, because the last time he had Jordy Nelson, he was still great. So that was always the argument. Why wouldn't you just get him more weapons and try to prop him up as much as you can if he is regressing? And drafting Jordan Love did absolutely nothing for that.
Well, and this scheme, quite frankly, is designed to scheme guys open. Mike McCarthy's offense, I think we talked about this the last time, was predicated on guys winning their one-on-one matchups. And Rodgers, being so good at going through his progression, he could get to his fourth receiver in the progression before some quarterbacks would get to their second. And if your fourth guy is better than their fourth cover guy, he's going to be open. And so, and I always think back to that Sports Illustrated cover with Rodgers on the cover with Jennings and Driver and Jones and Cobb and Nelson and JerMichael Finley. And that was the first year he won his MVP award of two. And they just out-talented teams. Last year, they won a bunch of close games. It's still remarkable to me that they were 13-3. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, this year, I think that the scheme is really working for Rodgers, and it is scheming open guys that weren't able to get open in this kind of transitional version of the offense where they were segueing from McCarthy's offense to a true LaFleur offense. So Rodgers has talked about it multiple times that, you know, when we ask him why he's getting the ball out of his hand quicker, the first thing he says is guys are open quicker. And again, that's where if you're able to do that with guys of lesser talent, what can guys of terrific talent do in that same scheme? And it's the same with the quarterback position, because this is an offense where you don't have to be a great quarterback to be productive in it. But when you have this offense and you have that great quarterback and you add some weaponry, you know, you can really do some things against both not so good teams and against the good teams. And again, we want to see, if you're a Packers fan, you want to see this team do it against a really good defense. And at 5-1, they haven't had to do it yet, or in the one opportunity that they did have, they failed to do it.
Yeah, and how funny is it that this week is not the test? I mean, normally you would have been saying, okay, here it is, you know, Rodgers versus Zimmer. That's what it's been since Zimmer arrived here. That's been the matchup, is Rodgers versus Zimmer that you're putting on the marquee. And that is just not the case here. I mean, it's still Rodgers Zimmer, but it's Rodgers versus cornerbacks who have no idea what they're doing. And still, as of last week, don't even know how to use their safety as leverage and just give up easy touchdowns to Julio Jones. Like, it has been incredibly poor play by the cornerbacks. And I think that that probably continues even though they're coming out of the bye. So if the Packers do end up 6-1 and beat the Vikings, I mean, where would you put them in terms of NFC contenders? Are you putting them, you can't go above the Bucks because you lost to the Bucks, but aside from that, is it just in the second bundle, or do you have them below somebody else?
I don't know what to make of what happened with Seattle and Arizona on Sunday night. I really did feel, and they have their defensive shortcomings too, and they're not exactly chock full of weaponry either, although DK Metcalf is a really good player. But Russell Wilson does it with, you know, Lockett and Metcalf and then some other guys, you know, and that's kind of the way the Rodgers era has been the last few years. Look, I don't want you to tailor our conversation to filling me in on the Vikings. That's why people subscribe to listen to it all the time. But it is baffling to me that a team that has been so good defensively and still has star player pieces, right? Whether it's Kendricks, et cetera, that they are at a point where they went from, okay, our corners got old or ineffective, so we're going to start over. And now we got young guys who just are ineffective. They're not old, they're just ineffective. And Rodgers versus Zimmer, as you said, has been such a terrific cat and mouse game. Now, you know, Rodgers got the better of it in the opener. He got the better of it at Lambeau Field last year. I'm not sure that he really got the better of it. They won the game, but it wasn't like they lit the world on fire at US Bank Stadium late in the season on Christmas Eve last year. They ran the ball really well in that game. So, you know, that how that has happened is a little baffling to me. But against Aaron Rodgers and with Devontae Adams going like he is right now, that creates quite the matchup concern. I'm eager to see what Mike Zimmer, who I really like. I've never had to cover him and been scolded for any of my questions by him. But I do know this. He is a really smart defensive coach. And whether it's losing Hunter or Ngakoue not being the player that you thought he was going to be as the missing piece, I just know that I would never feel all that confident against the Mike Zimmer defense that coming out of a bye week, A, there's no way he's going to let Devontae Adams beat him. He is going to force them to win the game with somebody else because there's no way that he's going to be as foolish as the Texans were. But I can't underestimate him. And maybe it's the same principle that I have that I've struggled with this season where I've looked at, well, they're playing on the road. You know, that's going to be a tough game. Yeah, well, not with the stands empty, it ain't tough. And it's hard to retrain your brain to say home field doesn't mean what it used to mean
right
during this COVID-19 season. I have to also retrain my brain to say maybe Mike Zimmer being the head coach and being a defensive genius doesn't mean as much as I thought it used to mean as well.
I think it only goes so far. When you have players that cannot master yet, and I think that they will eventually, but when you have guys that don't understand basic NFL technique and then all of a sudden they face DK Metcalf and Julio Jones in back-to-back weeks, and these guys have just been overwhelmed. And even when they schemed extremely well against Seattle, still when push came to shove at the end of the game, they couldn't pressure the quarterback good enough and they couldn't cover good enough. A fourth down where Russell Wilson goes deep and Cam Dantzler is in, you know, trying to catch a fly ball as opposed to, you know, guarding his man. And I think we're just seeing a lot of that. And that's what, before the season, we tried to kind of warn fans a little with, hey, you know, a third round pick having to start, this could go bad, actually. You know, we don't even know if first rounders are going to be good, much less a guy who's picked in the third round having to play against the league's top receivers. And I agree with you that they'll do everything they can to take away Devontae Adams. But what we've seen, Jason, is the big play. And you saw it week one, but that's happened every single week, even against the Texans where they almost lost. And I think that the NFL is really gone this way. I don't know if it's been the last few years or just especially this year, where everything is about how many downfield bombs can you hit? How many times can you create somebody open that breaks a big play? And that's the difference maker in the game. And that's the worst for rookie corners who can't cover elite receivers.
Yeah. And look, the Packers offense, the development they've had has been twofold. One, Rodgers, again, because guys have gotten open off the line of scrimmage more effectively, has gotten the ball out on those underneath shallow crosses, the kind of throws that, quite frankly, you either saw him passing up or not having available to him last season because guys weren't open. So they're able to dink and dunk a little bit more than they have. And then the second part of it is their play action game, because their running game is effective and because their run fakes look exactly like their actual runs, whereas what we joked about during the McCarthy era was they would do play action and the faked handoff looked nothing like any of the handoffs they would actually hand the ball off for.
Right.
So no one was fooled by those. In this offense, it's really interesting how it gives such a great illusion of complexity that they run largely the same plays, but they make them look vastly different. And the way that Rodgers, you know, Matt Hasselbeck explained this to me better than anyone, that by the third step by the quarterback, you want the defense to not be sure if it's a run or a pass. Mm. And in the Packers offense's case right now, they have really mastered that. The scheme and the way Rodgers executes the play action fakes, he bootlegged the Saints to death a couple of weeks ago, but it really is effective on freezing those linebackers and confusing the defense into thinking, okay, this may actually be a run. And then obviously then they are able to hit the downfield throws more often than they have in the past couple of years.
Go to sodastick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. If you have not seen this stuff yet and you've been listening to this podcast, what are you doing? Make sure you go check it out. A couple of my favorite designs. They've got new gritty gear after the Vikings' young superstar receiver and the Duck Duck, Gray Duck, and much, much more. All their apparel is screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies, a few of which I have myself. You will love it. We are going to hook you up, by the way, with free shipping on your next order. Use Purple Insider for free shipping. The promo code Purple Insider. That's sodastick.com, SOTASTICK, original Minnesota sports inspired goods, code Purple Insider for free shipping. So you bring up Mike McCarthy, and that's going great in Dallas. But I wonder, I want you to tell me about the end of eras, though, because I think by the time McCarthy was done, he was really done. And nobody thought that year, or at least I'll tell you my perspective, I didn't think that they would get rid of Mike McCarthy. But eventually it got to be so bad. And I forget, you could tell me which game it was that they just no-showed entirely against the bad opponent. But I had that feeling last week against Atlanta. And I think for Mike Zimmer that this game is actually pretty important, that his team shows that they have some fight and that they have some development in them and some progress and some potential under Mike Zimmer long term, because I think that it's a real thing when you get to the end of an era with a guy and you say, look, you're a great coach, but I think we've got to hit the refresh button. And I honestly don't know if that's the case with how ownership feels about this, but I know that if the Packers win 30-10, that they're going to start feeling like it, right? They care about that matchup a lot, and I think that they were infuriated. The game you mentioned last year, Week 16, that the owners of this Vikings team were infuriated with how that looked, especially getting run over the way they did. And, I mean, I'm not saying that this might be it, but this would be a huge influencing factor if they get killed by the Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple things about the McCarthy era. First of all, like, the quarterback had far more pelts on the wall in Green Bay than the guy that is currently quarterbacking Mike Zimmer's team.
Yes.
And so his displeasure or frustration with McCarthy carried a lot more heft than any frustration probably anybody on that roster in Minnesota can carry. Now, the game you're referring to, they lost to Arizona.
Right. Yeah.
And Mason Crosby missed what would have been a game tying field goal as the clock. So, you know, you wonder, well, if he makes that kick and they go on to win 23-20 or whatever, does he get fired? Probably not. I did think that that was a little knee jerky to fire him. They kind of tried to cover it as, yeah, we wanted to give Joe Philbin a chance to audition, which wasn't really true. Like, they could say that, but they were never going to fire. They were never going to hire Joe Philbin, who I love. I mean, he's one of my favorite coaches. He's a kind-hearted, wonderful man who probably is never going to be a head coach again after what happened in Miami. So to look at that, you know, I wouldn't use that per se as the equivalent because of Rodgers' power and because of how the Packers handled it. I don't know the Wilfs well enough to know if they would ever fire somebody other than Chili before the season is over. Now, the other part of that, though, was early that season, the Packers beat Buffalo, and they shut them out. It was like 20-0 and 22-0, I think. And Rodgers got up on the postgame podium and basically just ripped to shreds the offensive game plan publicly. And, you know, talked about how they should have beaten them by so much. And the narrative, instead of being, wow, what a great defensive performance while the offense didn't put up a lot of points, was instead Rodgers just committed second-degree murder on Mike McCarthy's career in front of everybody in the media. And I am intrigued by the fact that after that, no one really thought McCarthy would last. I think he was emasculated by that. And as a result, it was just a matter of when, not if, that was going to be his last season. I mean, I knew it was over from the minute Rodgers walked off the podium. And I don't think anyone in Minnesota has done that, to my knowledge, said anything. You know, McCarthy's got all this other stuff going on now in Dallas where he's being so harshly criticized and guys are talking off the record, et cetera. But I don't get – and you're closer to your team than the team that you cover than I am. But I do wonder how frustrated the locker room is with the culture, the coaching staff, et cetera. Because Rodgers, I don't want to say he led a revolt, but his frustration and him voicing it publicly allowed others to feel like they could voice their frustration publicly. And I think that then just started to be a snowball rolling downhill, and that was kind of it for him. So I don't think the scenarios are exactly the same, and for that reason, I'm skeptical that that this will have – the path will be the same for the Vikings despite their struggles.
I would say yes, that I agree that Kirk Cousins does not have the cachet of Aaron Rodgers to do something like that, at least publicly. Now, behind the scenes, maybe, because he is getting absolutely demolished. I mean, the national media, the fans here, you know, they have really turned on Kirk Cousins to the point where here on the show, we're doing a bit each week where we look at what the college quarterbacks did. And I get emails every week, every day about, hey, would the, you know, 49ers trade Garoppolo straight up for Cousins? Like, what's his contract like? How can we get out of it? I think that fans have reached a real point of frustration with Cousins, and he might look at some of these games and say, you know, I played pretty well against Tennessee, despite your horrible offensive line that you gave me and your run-first scheme, and I played pretty well against Seattle. But, you know, you want to run the ball on 4th-and-1 instead of putting the ball ever in my hands in that situation. And, you know, I don't know if this is a team that has a guy who would do that currently, now that Stephon Diggs is in Buffalo, even though he usually did it through social media. But Diggs demanding to be traded and a bunch of other players deciding not to come back was certainly an indictment, I think, on where the culture was at under Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. Because I think when you look at a coach, quarterback, and general manager, that's kind of like the big three of who runs a team. And I think a lot of the players turned on at least two out of the three. So you do have that element of it. And I do wonder about if Kirk Cousins feels like he was put in a situation with a coach that's obsessed with defense and running, and they didn't do everything to help him.
I think back to, it was fairly early in Zimmer's tenure where, like, the defense in a game at Lambeau Field, like, went rogue, right? They just decided to
2016, yep.
Not run the defense being called.
Yes.
And just call their own defenses for at least the period of that game. And then, look, I don't have anything against Kirk Cousins other than he and I have different philosophies on wearing a mask during a pandemic. But, look, you can't. There's two things. You can't win without a really good quarterback in this league. I don't care what anybody says. And then second, you can't win if your coach doesn't believe in your quarterback. And there is so much evidence of not believing in him. And you just mentioned a few of them. You know, that's one thing that McCarthy and Rodgers may have butted heads. They certainly did. McCarthy never doubted what Rodgers was capable of.
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy never once would have said, I don't know if I want to put the ball in his hands.
Right.
Matt LaFleur definitely isn't afraid to put the ball in Rodgers' hands because, frankly, if Matt LaFleur was given some truth serum, he would probably say, I'd like to run the ball the way I did in Tennessee with Derrick Henry and be 50-50. But I have Aaron Rodgers, so I'm not going to run my offense that way. So, you know, that's, to me, the difference is that, you know, you look at great marriages, and not all of them work out, right? Eventually, you know, even though McCarthy and Rodgers stayed together for the kids, eventually they got divorced. but when those marriages work, you know, you look at Brees and Peyton down in New Orleans, you get a lot of production, but you also get a lot less drama. And the problem with Green Bay and Rodgers, to go back to that, was that relationship clearly had run its course.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, that they needed to go their separate ways. Unfortunately for Mike, he went from being married to Aaron Rodgers to being married to Jerry Jones. And I think I'd rather be married to Rodgers if I was Mike McCarthy.
Well, now married to Andy Dalton. And I just, as an aside, hey, maybe it's Dak's fault that they're actually losing is not turning out to be a great take for the people that had that one. When I look at this situation here, Jason, I think that they want to do what Green Bay did with Matt LaFleur, and I don't know if that means another coach, but they want to bounce back quickly. They want to not bottom out for 2 or 3 years. They, I don't think, want to replace Kirk Cousins as much as everybody else wants them to do that. I think that they want to bounce right back in 2021 and have a 13-3 type of season and say, look, it was just one down year. But I think it, because you have Rodgers and here you don't have Rodgers, it's such a different formula. The math just doesn't work like the same way when you don't have an elite quarterback in terms of how long you have to be down. And that's where I wonder how realistic they are. And I guess I wonder this, like with the Packers, if Rodgers this year has sort of bailed them out from actually looking too far down the road. And here's the Vikings maybe not looking far enough down the road.
Yeah, look, I'll tell you this. Aaron Rodgers is taking the approach this season that this is his last year in Green Bay.
Mm.
Now that doesn't mean it will be his last year in Green Bay, but he is, you know, he was even making a comment after the game on Sunday in Houston about how much he cherishes going into road stadiums and having Packers fans take them over. Even when there's only 16,000 fans
right
in Houston, that there was still such a significant Packers presence to it. He has been very much about savoring this season. And, you know, he's talked about it, maybe not explicitly, but it's very clear to me that he's saying, look, this could be it. They could, because the cap money, actually, they still save cap money if they move on from him. They only save about $4 million on the cap if they were to move on from him this year as opposed to the following year when they would save like $20 million off the cap, not having him on their roster. But it's not like they would have all this dead money that would be much greater than what they were going to be paying him. So his approach clearly has been that. I do wonder, and I have so many friends in the Twin Cities, and many of them are Vikings fans. I do wonder how other teams' fan bases that don't have the quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and frankly, they probably did this in 07 when the Packers were moving on after the 07 NFC Championship game from Favre to Rodgers, saying, God, I can't imagine having that guy as a quarterback. Now, the Vikings got to have that guy as a quarterback for 2 years. They came within an interception of going to a Super Bowl with him at quarterback. So I'm not saying that Rodgers is unappreciated here. I think his start has kind of reminded them of how special he is. But all you have to do is look at the have-nots, and all due respect to Kirk Cousins, who I have nothing against, you know, he's not a have. I don't think he makes you a have-not at quarterback either. He's somewhere in that malaise in the middle, and probably at the top end of that malaise. But I don't know, when you're one of those teams that is constantly trying to find that guy, and you juxtapose that with a team that has constantly had that guy for three decades between the two quarterbacks, I just don't know if you fully appreciate how much it sucks not to have that guy.
And you look at what the Vikings have had for so many years, it's always been a guy who you're trying to kind of move on from outside of Culpepper for a brief time, but then Culpepper gets hurt and you have to move on from him. Same with Teddy Bridgewater, where you feel like, oh, we've got our quarterback, this guy can win, and then he gets hurt and emerges several years later looking very good for the Carolina Panthers, but they couldn't stick with him at that time because of the injury and where they were as a franchise, and so they go all in on Kirk Cousins, who's not that much different from a lot of the rental quarterbacks that they've had through the years in terms of his actual quality, but they pay him like he's Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's, you know, builds into that frustration from fans and where they are right now in terms of trying to pay everyone, but, you know, there's a lot of holes on the team that they can't fill, and then it goes just sort of round and round. But before we wrap up, Jason, let me ask you this. If the Vikings pull off an upset, if Zimmer has been at the ranch in Kentucky, I actually think he had to stay in Minnesota, but if he's been if he's been in his office, let's say, 24/7 grinding the tape, and he's found Matt LaFleur's offensive flaw all of a sudden, and they get three picks on Rodgers, they beat the Packers. How are Packers fans going to feel at that point about the team? And does that cause some panicked moves, some trades at the deadline, which is coming up right after this game, basically?
Yeah, I don't think that they will be particularly active at the trade deadline. I mean, that just hasn't been their MO for a very long time. And so, you know, what they have done historically is move on from guys at the trade deadline. And frankly, unless they're faking it, I don't think they feel like they need to move to make a move. I really don't. I think they think their receiving core is fine. I think they love their running backs. I think they believe that they have young players that are developing that they don't need to make anything even close to a panicked move. Again, we're seeing a ton of injuries throughout the league. We see them every year, but the Packers last year were among the most fortunate teams when it comes to injuries that I have ever seen in 25 years of covering the NFL, because not only did they stay stunningly healthy, that their number one receiver missed four games with turf toe, and that was literally the only major injury that they endured, and it only lasted four games. But they also had such incredible fortune with the matchups.
Yeah,
they're scheduled to go to Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes is out. They go right to Minnesota for that big matchup, and not only was Dalvin Cook out for that game, but Alexander Mattison was out for that game, too. Yep. And so, you know, and there were, you know, they didn't have to play against Stafford in one of their games against Detroit. I mean, there were so many instances of that last season that they're six games in. So much can happen in the last 10 games. They've had more injuries this year than they had by far last year. And there's the danger of, you know, if something happens to Adams, I don't believe, even though they are now 6-0 in the games that he has missed with Matt LaFleur as the coach, I still don't believe they can beat a really good team without him on the field. And so not only do they have to cross their fingers and hope that he stays healthy, but they also have to hope that Alan Lazard comes back healthy, because after those two, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is just too inconsistent. You just don't know what you're going to get from him from game to game or play to play, quite frankly. Equanimeous St. Brown is a non-factor. They like Darius Shepherd, the young guy from North Dakota State, but he's inconsistent at this point. I mean, they just don't have a lot at wide receiver, and they don't have the depth to endure an injury. They also don't have the depth at tight end to endure an injury. They lost their rookie Josiah DeGuara that they were really high on. He played really well against the Vikings in the opener.
Yep.
He's out for the year now. So I don't think if they lose to the Vikings, I don't think the Packers would panic from a personnel standpoint, but I think it would be a very disturbing omen for Packers fans that their 5-1 start is a little paper tigery.
Even though sports took a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that means hiring is more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gets you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now, Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team and player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division championships, and futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If they don't make moves in a year like this, where a lot of teams, I think, are going to be trying to dump their salaries for the future, and even someone like AJ Green, if he wants out of Cincinnati, I mean, imagine pairing him with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know the cap situations on these things to say for sure whether you could do this or that. But if there was any year, you've got Rodgers playing great. Chicago, I don't think we're recording this as they're playing, so I don't know what's happening, but I don't think Chicago is truly that great. The Vikings are down. Detroit doesn't scare you. The other quarterbacks are old, even though they're playing well. Like, you've got a real, no one exists in the NFC East. Like, you have a real shot to go to the Super Bowl, and Seattle can't pressure the quarterback any more than you and I could. I mean, it would be, to me, it would be the year that if you're going to break traditions and you're going to go all in on something, I think that they should, and then they should make a big splash move for another receiver.
So the Packers would, if they were to do that, it would be sort of like what the 49ers did with Emmanuel Sanders last year, that you make that deal knowing full well you are not going to pay him when he becomes a free agent, because the Packers, you know, you look at their upcoming free agents. They have their franchise left tackle and David Bakhtiari last year of his deal. They have their starting center, Corey Lindsley, last year of his deal. They've got Kevin King, their one of their two starting corners, in the last year of his deal. And then not only do they have Aaron Jones in the last year of his deal, but Jamal Williams too. So their number one and number two running backs, who they see both as capable starters, are both going to be free agents, and the cap's going to go down.
Right.
So any moves that they make have to be purely of a rental mentality, because they are certainly not going to sign say they make a trade for a young guy who wants a big contract. That's not going to fit their paradigm unless they are going to go all in on a rebuild. Like Rodgers, this is fool's gold, and he's not going to be able to do this in 2021 or 2022. And they decide, look, we're going to go to Love. We're going to bite the bullet on the cap in 2021. And then we're going to be a contender again in 2022. I mean, I do think with Bakhtiari and Jones and Rodgers all being potentially either free agents or expendable, that this has got a little bit of like a, I don't want to say the last dance. I've got the recency of having watched that documentary, obviously. But, and then does that make Brian Gutekunst Jerry Krause? Like, I don't know.
I mean, drafting Love is sort of the same kind of thing. We're like telling Phil Jackson, we're not keeping you here.
Right. So, who knows what next week holds, much less next year. And Lord knows what we've dealt with COVID-19. I'm just not counting my chickens on anything these days.
Right.
But I think the one thing that if I were a Vikings fan who lives with a Packers fan or is married to a Packers fan or works with a bunch of Packers fans, I would think this, that as great as the Packers have been for the last three decades because of Favre and Rodgers, they are due to have to live how the other half has lived. And those are the Vikings,
yep.
They're the Bears, all those teams. And there is there's no guarantee that Jordan Love is number three in this succession after Favre and Rodgers. There's a distinct possibility that he's more Mitch Trubisky than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And if that were to happen, then Packers fans are going to find out what their Vikings fan friends and their Bears fan friends have lived with for the last couple of decades.
Jason Wilde, you could follow him on Twitter if you like Packers things, at Jason J. Wilde, and ESPN Wisconsin, The Athletic Wisconsin as well for your Packers coverage. Jason, it's always fun to get together. I am going to miss your press box food, elite, elite press box food in Lambeau. And last year, Judd Zolgad and I had the biggest slabs of meat when we were in Wisconsin that we've ever had in our lives. I have never eaten a bigger piece of meat than I did in Wisconsin. I will miss you and that this year.
Well, I will miss seeing you too. My first appearance with you on any sort of podcast was recorded like 1 a.m. with
yes.
You and Judd in the back area. But I can tell you this, while you may miss my smiling face behind my mask, you will not miss the press box food. The world famous omelet station that we are so proud of for noon games, no longer there.
Oh no.
It is because of COVID-19 boxed sandwich lunches.
Oh,
so
the horror.
It really is not worth the trip for the food or for seeing me with my nifty University of Oregon mask.
2020 is truly the worst. They have taken away Lambeau's press box food. My God. Have mercy on all of us. All right, Jason. Well, this was really fun to catch up with you. I know that we will do it again soon. Maybe when your team is in the playoffs and the Vikings are watching the playoffs. So we'll do it then.
Well, the Vikings are the 7th seed and the Packers are the 2nd seed and they play in the first round. I look forward to it.
There's about a 2% chance of that happening, but it is the Vikings. You never really do know. So, all right. Thanks, Jason.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Be good.